And we're back. I'm here with filmmaker Jonathan Fry, no relation to Steven, and from your snappy attire, I think we're starring in an action film later, The Corduroy Gang. It's a crime drama. You'll love it. So tell us why which film you are with, and tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah. I did a short film. It's called Kip Norman, and it's about a man who, kind of at surface level, is very interesting. He's a hoarder. He collects a lot of things. And then he makes art out of it. So kind of in his mind, you know, 10 years ago, he thought, you know, I'm interested in art. I have an opportunity to do it. I wonder if I make art out of all the stuff I have, I could disseminate it and get rid of it. Well, it only fueled his collecting. So he just collects more and more and more. But I think what's so interesting about him is that his perspectives that he has on life, kind of on restoration, on viewing how to renew cities. So he has these great perspectives on kind of why he collects and why he's so interested in the past and how they can teach us something for the future. Yeah. So it's a short film, and it's, I don't know, it's an all-around good subject.
So how did the film come to you?
So I met Kip at a wedding, and I was photographing it, and he was in the wedding, and he was very particular about how he had his picture taken.
How so?
Well, he wanted, I would show you a picture. He wanted his face shot straight, and then he wanted a profile shot, and he was very still and very sterile about his look, and you know, he has these big rimmed glasses and this giant beard, so I knew...
I don't know what you're talking about.
So I knew immediately that this man had intrigue, and I wanted to learn more, so I kept running into him more and more throughout the city, and then finally I said, you know, Kip, I've seen your studio, I've seen your work, you're still mysterious to me. I think I want to do a film about you. So he loved the idea, and so we started to go to work.
So, did you film inside his quote unquote studio?
I filmed in his studio.
How challenging was that?
Well, he gave me a deadline. He said, you know, tell me when we want to film, and that way I can clean up my studio, so that way we can walk around in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's neat stuff that he collects. It's not just like garbage or newspapers or anything like that. It's kind of things that you would love to have in your home. You're like, I might not buy that, but I wouldn't mind having it.
Can you give an example?
Ooh, yeah. A lot of kind of maybe religious artifacts, kind of paintings and mosaics and records and record players and maybe kind of hands and figurines and books and magazines and a plethora of hats, dishes. I mean, things that are just kind of nice quality. You might not want all of them, but it's at least pretty to look at.
Now, are you not a hoarder, but I mean, do you collect? Was there something from a filmmaking standpoint that you could relate to?
No. Not at all.
Not at all.
You know, I think what I could relate to with Kip was his appreciation for antiquity, his appreciation for things that he thought were timeless. Now, they may be out of style, but they, in his mind, taught some lesson, that they could teach something that was timeless that could be valued. So I'm kind of drawn towards that, you know, something, a message or the clothes or what you have in your home that's timeless. It's not dated. You know, there's always going to be a way to go back to it and revisit it.
Did he explain how it got that way? I mean, I think people who collect, like, for instance, music and film, in my own case, part of it is wanting to have it there. You never know when you might need it.
Right.
Was there any discussion like that?
You know, there wasn't much of a discussion as to why. It just kind of was.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that it's just an affinity towards some of the things. Not always is he going to use them, because some things are just, they're not usable. They just sit. So he has a warehouse, and so he can sometimes, swap out some things and put other things back in the warehouse. And he used to have, like, big sales where, you know, people would come over, and he would just kind of sell everything and then go back to square one and then start collecting more. But, yeah, he's pretty wild.
Well, and I think you mentioned hoarder, so I think people immediately think of the series, and there's, you know, like the famous New York story where somebody is crushed to death.
Yeah,
but it's not a squalor.
No. He's He's very clean. I mean, it sounds bad because I'm talking about my friend right here. So it's like it's weird to say, but he's my friend now. So, no, he's great in what he collects, and you know he might think that he's somewhat crazy, but I think he's crazy for not keeping doing it. The things that he just kind of pursues and puts together, especially his artwork, I think that's really amazing. How he tells these stories of the past and these found objects. I mean, he calls himself a junk artist, and it's just amazing what he can come up with.
Well, I think it's, my daughter is funny. She does this with whenever I have a pair of jeans that go bad. She likes to work with the denim. So in a way, it's recycling and it's making art with an unlikely source,
right?
But it seems like it's more self-expression as opposed to squalor,
right? Oh yeah, yeah, it definitely is. I don't think there'll ever be a case where he's going to be crushed by, like, you know, 70 pounds of hats or something like that. It's just not going to happen.
Death by hat. That's
death by hat.
Yeah, St. Pete laughs at you. I think it was death by hat. So how many film festivals have you been to with this?
This is actually my first.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Welcome.
Thank you. So this is my first. I'm excited to be here and kind of experience Heartland. And, you know, everything that I have experienced so far has been really wonderful. Meeting the other filmmakers, you know, the staff here is great. And, you know, being from Indianapolis myself, I get to kind of show some filmmakers, too, around town. Like, you know, I get to take ownership of it.
So where are you telling people to go?
The Chatterbox.
Excellent.
Yes. I want them to experience that. So a few of us went there the other night and just had a fun time.
Who's playing?
You know, it just ended, right? The music just ended. So I think Sophie someone was playing. Yeah. Always good. But yeah.
So what have you been watching recently? New, old, indifferent?
New, old, indifferent. You know, Terrence Malick, I never get sick of Terrence Malick. He did Thin Red Line and
New World,
Badlands,
Tree of Life,
and Summer Days, oh shoot, I can't remember.
Days of Heaven,
yes. Yeah.
And now he's got apparently two films coming.
Yeah, I haven't done much research, and I'm not sure what's going to come out. But
I don't know either. I'm still one of the few people I would love to see the six-hour cut of The Thin Red Line.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I was when I read that there was, like, extended scene, you know, just everything about it. And that movie was so spectacular. I mean, it's just breathtaking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What is your take on Tree of Life?
You know, I thought it was great. And I thought what he was able to do with the little dialogue, and that's kind of some things that I'm drawn towards, is, you know, telling something without having to say it. You know, the way he set up the scenes, the visuals, the time that he shot it, there was just so much told without anything being said. And I think he accomplished that so beautifully, just that little snippet. The other parts where I know he was trying to maybe talk about the origins of life.
Or I got from it was the death of a young man in Texas is an atom on the fingernail of some, you know, one other giant. And, of course, dinosaurs fighting.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, some of it was not as accessible and I don't think really fit in. It was almost kind of like 2001 Space Odyssey a little bit, but I still loved it. I still thought it was good.
And I think with Malick's one of those filmmakers, until he's not allowed to, which I don't think is going to happen, but he's making films his way,
right?
And whether people love it or hate it, it's all on him. It's not studio messing up with it. It's not editing. It's all. I mean, and there's only a handful of filmmakers really alive.
Yeah.
I mean, I think of people like Altman and Ken Russell, that it's all on the table, like it or not.
Yeah. It's pretty cool to see, you know, someone just set in their mind and, you know, make or break. I just that they love what they're doing, you know, and that's inspiring to see that. You know, the people in such, you know, when you think Hollywood or you think those, you know, major studios, you think game's over. You know, there's no more of that inspiration. There's no more of that independence kind of. But no.
See something like that, and I'm like, yes.
Yeah. All right. That gives me hope. So.